We're holding on page Tes Zayin in Shabbos, Ois Chof Daven. Yesterday's piece of Gemara mentioned something about the reason that Amir Oretz die young. We said two things. Number one, because they call the Oren Kodesh in Shul, and the Shul itself by disrespectful names. They call the Oren HaKodesh Orna, as though it's just like a regular cabinet, and they call the Shul Beis Am, as though it's just the house of the people, rather than the house of Hashem. So now, more on this topic about Amir Oretz, and then more on the topic, B'chlal, of Averis that make a person susceptible to various punishments. We have the mission of the three mitzvahs for women, and then the consequences of not keeping them, so more on that topic. So the Gemara says, Tanya, Reb Shimon Gamliel, Hilchas Hekdish, Trumas of Maestris, the halachas of Hekdish, when you declare that something is Hekdish and belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, and that dinim of Trumas and Maestris, Hein Hein Gufei Torah, all of them are basic major ideas in Torah. And yet, they were given over to Amir Oretz in the sense that the Torah trusts every person about them. When it comes to Hekdish, a person can declare something Hekdish. Now, on the face of it, then, anytime you buy something from somebody, or anytime somebody gives you something or whatever, shouldn't you have to be concerned maybe it's Hekdish, and then you're committing the Ilah, and yet the Torah doesn't impose that on you, and you can assume that it's not. And the same thing, Truma and Meiser, you're able to eat somebody's food and assume that he took Truma and Meiser. Now, Rashi points out, of course, eventually the Chachamim made the concept of Demai exactly that, but they found that they couldn't trust the Amir Oretz necessarily to be taken Meiseris. But Minatoda, that concept doesn't exist. Minatoda, it was perfectly, and it worked that way for 1,000 years after the Torah was given, that you could trust the person that's who said that he gave Truma and Meiser and trust that in fact he had done so. So it's an illustration, in other words, of the idea that how much Hashem trusts even the Amir Oretz that they were going to do the right thing. However, Marshall says another connection is, we said before, again, the things because of which Amir Oretz may seem, the point is, he says that now you have another angle. The Gemara is saying over here, Reb Shimon Gamliel is saying, when they do things that cause the Chaverim, that cause the people who are more careful in mitzvahs to be nichshol, then that also causes consequences for them. So for example, let's say you might have the other way around. You might have a person who was not machdish an animal and brings it to the Beis HaMikdash and claims that it's a korban. Fine, but that's not machshel anybody else. It's cholin ba'azara. It's also to eat. Machloikas, whether that's daraisa or darabanan, but whatever. The point is, that's not being machshel others. But these three things that we're talking about over here are being machshel others, and therefore therefore those have consequences. So Rashi, in fact, in the Gemara, there's more detail to Rashi than there is printed here in Ein Yaakov, where Rashi says some people wanted to explain, in fact, that hekdish over here means just that, when a person is makdish, an animal for a korban, and then fails to bring it, but Rashi says that doesn't seem to be what it means over here. What we mean is, as we said, that means a person declares something hekdish, and then he goes and sells it or gives it or whatever, and you don't have to be concerned that it might be hekdish, because most things are not. The Gemara continues, Tanya Rav Nosson Omer, Ba'avon Nedorim, Tanya Rav Nosson Omer, Ba'avon Nedorim, Mesa Ishtay Shal Odom. As a punishment for making Nedorim and not keeping them, a person's wife may pass away. Shanema, as the Pasuk says, Im Eimachal Shalom, if you don't have what to pay, Loma Yikach Mishkov Chamitachtecha, why should he take away your bed from underneath you? Now, the context that the Pasuk is talking about, for example, if you owe money to a person, then be careful to pay it. Or if you borrowed money, or actually the previous Pasuk talks about being an orev for somebody else's loan, then be careful about that because you can end up making your things taken away. However, Marshall says the Gemara doesn't want to understand it that way because why specifically mention your bed? It's currently in Shlosha Parakim of Rambam, a person owes money, anything that they have in principle can be taken away to satisfy the debt. So first of all, and on the other hand, if we're going to darshan that mishkovcha means your wife, the one with whom you lie, obviously if you owe somebody money and you're not paying up, he's not taking your wife in payment. Therefore, we have to understand that even though the context of the pasuk is talking about owing another person money, really, it's talking, really, on a deeper level, it's talking about owing Hashem something where a person made a neder to bring a korban or to do whatever and then fails to fulfill it. So we're saying, as a result of that, his wife can die. Now, what might, of course, you know, she herself is a person of her own. She herself, if she herself is completely deserving, then not necessarily is she going to be caught up in the consequences of what her husband did. What we mean is, for example, there might be the other way around. There might be where she herself deserves punishment, min hashamayim. Like this, if her husband wasn't guilty of such a thing, then Hashem might spare her for his sake. But because he failed to fulfill the nedarim, then therefore it makes it possible to happen. Continues the Gemara, Rebbe Omer Ba'avon Nedarim Bonim Mesik Shentanim. As a punishment for failing to fulfill Nedarim, a person's children die when they're young. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Al Titin Espicha Lachti Esbisarecha. Don't allow your mouth to make your flesh have committed a sin, meaning, in other words, to make that your flesh, which is your children, have punishment. And the Gemara elsewhere explains, adult children are not punished for their parents' aveiros, lo yumsu ovis abonim abonim lo yumsu al ovis, but young children is different because they're in effect considered a person's property. And the pasuk continues, lama yiktzei for lekim al kelecha. Why should Hashem be angry because of your voice? V'chibel as masi yadecha, and destroy the work of your hands. So therefore, we have to understand, says Rebbe, ezer hein maisi yadav shaladam. What are the real accomplishments of a person? What are his handiwork? Heavy em a bonum of noisav shaladam. You have to say it means his sons and daughters. So in other words, therefore, so the pasuk is implying that a person who causes that his mouth causes, he says something with his mouth, he makes a neder and fails to keep it, then that has consequences on his children as well. Elsewhere, the Gemara talks about that a shvuas shav has similar consequences as well. The Gemara talks about that a shvuas shav, or shvuas sheker, rather, whatever, also has effects on a person's family, and it brings that pasuk as well. Continues the Gemara, Tanan Abanan, Ba'avon Nedarim Bonim Mesim Divrei Rav Elazar ben Rav Shimon. Rav Elazar ben Rav Shimon says, like we just quoted from Nebi, that as a result of a person making the Nedarim and then not fulfilling them, his children die. Rav Yehuda HaNasi Omer, on the other hand, Rav Yehuda HaNasi gives a different reason, Ba'avon Bitul Torah, for the Aveira that the father wastes his time and doesn't learn Torah. So one idea is, Ion Yaakov says, we know famously that the children are the guarantors for the Torah. So therefore, so a person is being mevatel from Torah, then the guarantors get taken away. Also, he explains, because the Torah is the nachla that Hashem gave us Jewish people. So therefore, if a person treats it contemptuously and doesn't bother learning it, so his own nachla and his own simcha gets, which Torah is also associated with simcha, then that also gets taken away from him. Which the Gemara is going to ask. The Gemara is going to ask in a few lines. Rebbe is Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi. What are we saying over here? He just said before. Bavon Nedarim. Why all of a sudden now is he saying Bavon Bittul Torah? But first we have to understand where they're getting it from. Vishleim Lamanda Amar Bavon Nedarim. Okay, I can understand according to the opinion that it's for the Avera of making the Nedarim and then not fulfilling them. Kedam Laron. We brought the Psukim. We brought the Pasuk for that. Al Titzin Es Pichalachti Es Pesaracha. But what pasuk tells us that it would be as a result of Bittul Torah? And the answer is dichtiv, because you have a different pasuk in Yirmiyah, Lashav Yikasias Bnechem, for nothing I've struck your children, Hashem is saying, Musa loyva kohu, they have not taken Musa. The simple sense of the pasuk is something like Hashem is saying, I've struck your children and I've punished you and it hasn't done any good because you're not doing tshuva. The whole point of punishment from Hashem is to motivate a person to do tshuva. So the Navi is saying, if you're not doing tshuva, then what good is all that doing anyway? But here the Gemara is understanding, it's a rhetorical question. Mashavi, Kesi, Espenechem, do you think it's for nothing that I struck your children? The reason is because Musa, Loi Lakohu, because they're not taking Musa, which is another name for Torah, and Loi Lakohu, Meloshim Lekach, like you Lekach Torah, Masati Lachem, that they're not learning the Musa of the Torah. So therefore we see that it has to do with Avon Bittul Torah. So, which Marshall points out a little further in the Gemara. We're going to talk about various other things that can cause a person's children die young, Rahman al-Tzlan, and among them is the mitzvah mezuzah. We're going to have the Bittul Torah, and we're going to have mezuzah, and we're going to darshan it from Sukkim in Bahaya and Shemaya. Here, the Gemara is not doing it. Since if Rebbe is learning it from that source, then he would have to mention mezuzah as well. So the fact that he's not implies that he's getting it from another source, and that other source is this pasuk in Yirmiyah. On the side of it here, Yad Yosef brings a different thing from Masechta Kala that brings the same statement, but brings a different pasuk about it from the Navi Hashem. The Navi says, "Vatishkach Torah Salekecha, you've forgotten the Torah of Hashem, Eshkach Banecha Gam Oni," therefore Hashem says, "I will forget your children as well." So another source for the same idea. So the Gemara points out, Rab Nachman Yitzchak Omer, Lamanda Omer Ba'avon Nedarim Nami. Actually, even according to the opinion, Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, who says that the children passing away young is because of the Aveira of Nedarim, Nami Mehocha, they can also actually be learning, and instead of having to learn it from the Pasuk Al Titan Es Picha from Kehelas, they can actually be learning from the same Pasuk as well. Because you can also understand when it says, Lashavi Kesi Es Beneichem, means Al Iske Shav, means because of things of Shav, as an Ashurah Shav. Or in this case, a nether shav, where a person made a nether and then ends up not fulfilling it. So you can actually learn that and Bittul Torah from the same pasuk rather than needing a different pasuk. So now the Gemara asks, Mechti Rav Yehuda Hanasi Hainu Rebbe. Now Rav Yehuda Hanasi is Rebbe. There are two names for the same person. He's called Rav Yehuda Hanasi. The Yehuda was the name, and he was the Nasi, and he's called Rebbe because having composed the Mishnayos, he's the Rebbe of the entire Jewish people. So they're the same person. The Rebbe Ba'avon Nedarim Kamar. Didn't we say before that Rebbe said it's Ba'avon Nedarim? So why is he all of a sudden saying now Ba'avon Bittul Torah? And the answer is Bosu D'Shamam and Rabbi Ben Shimon. You're right. Originally he held it's because of Bittul Torah. After he heard from Rabbi Elazar Ben Shimon that it's because of Nedarim, then he changed his mind because Rashi explains, Rabbi Elazar Ben Shimon in turn, where would he know that from? He learned it from his own father, which is Rabbi Shimon Ben Ichai. Rav Shimon himself is one of Rebbe's Rebbe. So therefore, when Rebbe heard that Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon, the son of his former Rebbe, had taught this, then he changed his mind and accepted what Rav Shimon had said and what Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon is quoting in his name. That it's Ba'avon Nedarim. Okay, Marsha points out that even so, you still have Rebbe is still using a different pasuk than Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon is learning it from, instead of learning it from Al Titan Aspicha. The fact is he didn't mention that pasuk, so therefore we should understand that he got it from a different pasuk, and therefore Rebbe instead is learning it from Lashavi Kesi Espinach. Okay, the Gemara continues. Pligibar Rav Chiya Ba'Abba v'Rav Yosi. In turn, Rav Chiya Ba'Abba and Rav Yosi argue further about this. Other reasons why a person's children might die young, Rahman al-Tzlan. Chad Amar Ba'avon Mezuzah, v'chad Amar Ba'avon Bittul Torah. One says it's because of failure to put up a mezuzah, and the other one says that it's because of Bittul Torah. So where do they get that from? L'manda Amar Ba'avon Mezuzah, the one who says that it's because of the Aveda of failing to put up or to have a kosher mezuzah, we say, Nika Nidush Lefanav, V'loy Lefnei Panav. What we do is, we darshan a pasuk as referring to the previous pasuk before it. You have the last pasuk of Bahoya and Shemaya, is L'man Yubu Yemechem Bimei B'Nechem, where the implication is that if a person doesn't do what it said before that, then there's going to be the opposite of Yubu Yemechem Bimei B'Nechem. And what is the pasuk right before that? Therefore, that opinion holds that specifically it's for lack of the mitzvah of Uchsabta Mamazuzas Besecha that there's a lack of Laman Yubu Yemechem. He says you can actually go back to Psukim as well, because the previous pasuk before Chsavtam is the Limadtim Osim, that's B'necham L'dababam, which is referring to learning and teaching Torah. So therefore, we can say also that the point is that a lack of that causes a lack of Laman Yubu Yemechem and vice versa. In Shulchan Aruch, by the way, at the beginning of Hilchos Mezuzah, it mentions that not only a person's children, but a person himself has arichos yamim in the schos of having a mezuzah, in the schos of being careful with the mitzvah of mezuzah. After all, the pasuk says, "Aman yibu yameichem, yimei v'neichem." Interesting little sidelight on this, by the way. There were a few years back, Sholem Ber Avtsen published a series on Crown Heights Info about a lady that he was in touch with by email named Malka. Now, the whole story, she was orphaned as a baby, she was adopted, she felt like her parents had abandoned her. In any case, the Rebbe over the years gave her a tremendous kiruvim and then was working on her to keep her attached to Yiddishkeit. Apparently at some point she went to a seminary, so she was well versed, she's actually well versed in Torah. Anyway, whatever, but over the years she had dropped away from Yiddishkeit, so now the Rebbe was trying to be ma'orer her. So eventually the Rebbe got her to agree that she'll keep Shabbos and Kashrus. So one time she wrote to Sholem Ben Avtsen that somebody asked her whether she has a mezuzah, and she says, in fact, the Rebbe had one time brought that up to her, and she says, one second, it's supposed to be Shabbos and Kashrus only. What are you, now you're imposing something else on me? And the Rebbe explained to her, you see over here, on Daf Lamed Beis in Shabbos, Lamed Beis is in Lev, so it's the heart of what Shabbos is all about. It talks about the importance of mezuzah and how it has to do with arichos yamim of children. She works as a nurse in a pediatric unit, so therefore she's working to extend children's lives, and therefore that, yes, that has directly to do with what she did. So she accepted that, and then she put up mezuzahs in her house. So the point is, in other words, that keeping the points of that, then it comes out that what the Gemara we're saying over here then, it's in the Sefer Shabbos, for Davka, is that keeping the mitzvah of mezuzah is really an aspect of keeping the mitzvah of Shabbos. And then not just an aspect of it, but kind of the heart of it, the lave of it. The Gemara continues. Pligibar of Yehuda v'Rab Meir. Now, in turn, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir have a further argument about this, about the what makes it that children pass away young. Chadam abavo and mezuzah, v'chadam abavo and tzitzis. One says it's because of mezuzah, because we just said, and another, the other one, between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, says that it's for lack of doing the mitzvah of tzitzis. Now, the toast in the Gemara, there's printed over there, a toast with Yishonim, which explains that's primarily, what we're talking about is in those days where people's normal clothing had four corners, and therefore if a person fails to put tzitzis on those garments, then it's a serious thing. Not necessarily so in later times where our regular garments are not necessarily four-cornered. So we have, there is, this modern menachos that explains that there's still an Indian to make, to davka wear a four-cornered garment in order to be able to fill the mitzvah of tzitzis, and the Gemara explains over there that way at times when Hashem is angry with the world, then it helps give a person that extra degree of protection. But what we're talking about over here in the Gemara is where a person is actually wearing something that is chayiv and tzitzis and fails to put tzitzis on it. So the Gemara says, "Bishleim lamanda omer ba'avon mezuzah." Okay, I can understand according to the opinion that it's because of mezuzah. So fine, "Dichtiv chasavtam al mezuzah tesecho chtiv basri laman yibu yimeichem v'yimei v'neichem." So in that case, you can learn it from there. Like we said, it refers to the previous pasuk. El olamanda omer ba'avon tzitzis my timer. But the opinion that says that it's for failure to do the mitzvah of tzitzis, where are they getting that from? What's the connection between tzitzis and the loss of one's children? Omer of kahana v'itema shiva mori dichtiv, because you have a pasuk in Yirmiyah. It's a few psukim later than the pasuk we quoted before. Lashavi kesi espedechem says gam bichnafayich, also in your corners, the corners of your clothing, nimtzu dam nafshes of yonim nekiim, there are found the blood of the lives of innocent poor people. So the simple meaning of the pasuk, in other words, is the Navi is criticizing them. You're killing people in full view of everybody, and the blood even splatters on your clothes, and you don't even care to hide it because it's become a normal thing. But now the Gemara is doubting that it means bichnafayich, as a result of your corners, because the Navi is telling them you failed to do the mitzvah that involves the corners of your clothing, namely tzitzis. Because of that, you have dam nafshes of yonim nekiim. You have the blood, the lives of innocent poor people, meaning the children. They haven't done any averus. They're nekiim. They're clean of averus, and yet they end up suffering the consequences because the father was careless with knafayich. So therefore, that's the connection. The pasuk continues, Loi b'machteres mitzasim. The pasuk continues, I haven't found them in machteres. Machteres, like you have in parshas mishpatim, in machteres yimotzei aganav. Ganav is tunneling into a house to break in. So again, in posh the pshat of the pasuk, what it means is the Nabi is saying it's not even like you're trying to hide your crimes. You're doing them in full view of everybody. You're not even embarrassed by them. But now the Gemara is darshin. You're going to darshin something else. Rav Nachman, it's common among the Amar Ba'avoyin Mezuzah Nami. Actually, the opinion that says that it's because of failure to do the mezuzah. In Nami Mehocha, they can also be learning it from that pasuk. Yichtiv loy ma'machteres mitzasim, and we can understand that to mean differently. Sha'osu psachim ba'machteres u'kamachteres, because people are making their doors like a tunnel. A tunnel doesn't have a door frame, therefore it doesn't need a mezuzah. So people are treating their doors to their houses as if they were tunnels and not putting mezuzahs on them. So loy ba'machteres, the pasuk is saying that I haven't found that they're keeping my mitzvahs properly. Rather, they're acting as though their house is a machteres, and therefore they're not keeping mitzvahs, and therefore the result of it is the dam nafshis of yonim nekiyim. So therefore, you can learn it from that also. Marashah points out that, after all, because from Laman Yubu Yemechem, you might say the positive, that if a person is careful with mezuzah, then it causes that his children will live long. Doesn't necessarily mean the converse, that if he doesn't, then it won't. Not necessarily. Therefore, Rav Nachman Yitzchok says, better to learn it from this pasuk in Yirmiyah. He says also the word of yonim, besides that Rashi is saying, partially it means the children in the sense that they're of yonim, they're poor in the sense they don't yet have mitzvahs. There's also, of yonim is also an acronym for of ubanim. So the father is guilty because of his, the father bears the guilt that his sons have passed away because he failed to fulfill these mitzvahs. On the other hand, the Gemara now mentions a positive thing, a positive consequence of the mitzvah of tzitzis. Omer Shlokish kol azohir b'tzitzis, a person who is careful with the mitzvah of tzitzis, zoicho m'shamshin lo shnei avodim v'tof avodim. He will have the schus la'osid lavoi that he will be served by 2,800 servants. Why 2,800? And in other words, the idea is because, you know, we have in Mashiach's times, you know, lo yeh esek kol ha'olam kula el ladas Hashem bilvad. So we're going to be, you know, as the Rambam describes it, we're going to have to be pnuyim batodo of hachmasa. Somebody has to do the farm work, and somebody has to run the machinery and do all the other things. So that's going to be the 2,800 members of the various Goyish nations who are all going to go and willingly volunteer to help. 2,800. So where do we get that number? Shenema. Koyama Hashem Tzvakas. Hashem says, by Yomim Hohema, in those days when Mashiach comes, Asher Yachziku Asora Anoshim Mikol Ocharnis Agoyim, 10 men from each of the languages of the nations, Vechziku B'chnaf Ish Yehudi Lamer, they'll all grab on to the corner of a Jew's garment, saying, Neil Chaimachem, we want to go with you, as the pasuk continues, Kishamanu Elakimim Machem, because we've heard that Hashem is with you. So what do we mean, in other words? So if you have 10 people from every one of the 70 languages, so that's 700 for each corner. So 700 times 4 equals 2,800. And Marashah explains, it can't obviously mean that many people are going to physically grab onto the corner. That is why the Gemara is darshing. It doesn't mean they're actually grabbing on to the corner of the garment. It means they're grabbing on because of the corner, because the person was careful with the mitzvah of tzitzis. Therefore, he has for each of the four corners, 700 goyim coming to him and saying, we want to assist you in your avodah of Hashem because we understand Hashem is with you and you're on a high ruchnistic level and we want to help out with that. Why dafka is that with tzitzis? Marshall points out, after all, tzitzis it helps you remember all the other mitzvahs. It also saves a person from avera, as you have a story in Menachos, in the whole sugya of tzitzis over there. You have a story of a Talmud of Rav Chiya who was saved from a very serious avera by his tzitzis. So that has the segula, therefore, to make it that now the goyim are willing to help him out in his avera. Continuing, getting back to the subject of various averas and the consequences of them, the Gemara continues, Tanya Rav Nechemya Omer, Ba'avon Sinas Chinam, because of the avera of Sinas Chinam, Meriva Rav of the Seth Beis HaShaladam, quarrels increase in a person's house, which is Mida Keneged Mida. He's causing fights and quarrels between himself and other people. another word for argument is midonim, and you have in Kuntres Echotzu, where it talks about the role about the war with Midian, about Klippas Midian being this clipper of Sinas Chinam, which causes fights like that. So they call Midian Kenegan Midian. He has fights in his own house. The Ishtem Apelos Nepalim, his wife miscarries. Ubonim of Noisa Shalonim, Mason Shem Tanim, and his sons and daughters pass away when they're young, which is, Rashi explains, it's also Midah Kenegin Midah. Like this, a person loves his children, like this, on the other hand, here he's having Sinas Sinim towards fellow Yidden, so therefore the ones whom he loves are taken away from him. And of course, we should understand the flip side is true, that Avos Yisrael brings a greater bracha in these areas. Rav Elazar by Yehudaim, ba'avoin chala, because of the aveira of a person failing to take chala from their dough, ein bracha b'mechunas, there's no bracha in the things that are stored up. So in other words, people store wine and oil and so forth like this. There's no bracha in it. So there's shortages of it. Therefore, there's a curse in the prices. In other words, there ends up being inflation. Prices go up. Marshall points out, like this, what you usually have is, now the Gemara tells us elsewhere, that you don't have a bracha in something where you already know the number or the weight or whatever of it. What you have is, for example, you have a pile of grain and you haven't yet measured it, then Hashem can send a bracha into it and it can be larger than expected, because that's a hidden kind of nest, which is the usual kind of nest that Hashem does. So here what you have is there's mechunas, there's what's gathered in the storehouses, and normally there should be a bracha there, and here there's not, and instead prices go up. The zorin zroim b'achirim oichlin, and also people plant their seeds, and other people end up eating them, their enemies or whatever invade, and then find the crops already grown, and they steal them. Shenema, as it says in the pasuk in the Teshuva, Af ani es zois lachem. Hashem says, I will also do this to you. V'ifkadti aleichem, I will appoint upon you. And Rashi points out the word nifkad, the word v'ifkadti also is related to v'le nifkad mimenu ish, which means I will, so it also means I will decrease. I will decrease what you've already gathered in. Aleichem on you. Behola, so the simple meaning of behola means confusion. And then he continues, that's a shachefes v'esachadachas. Shachefes is a disease that causes a person's flesh, person's muscles to waste away. In modern Hebrew, they use it to mean tuberculosis. V'esachadachas, fever or malaria or whatever. Mechaloi senayim, which causes a person's eyes to fail. In other words, a person actually explains on the positive, the person is expecting that he's going to recover from it, and he doesn't, and it's a tremendous disappointment. Or medivais nafesh, and that disappoint the soul, same idea. You'll plant your seeds for nothing, and your enemies will eat it up. So we see that all of those are the consequence of an avera. And which avera? When the pasuk first says behola, I'll take behola ela bachala. We darish in the word behola as if it would said bachala, because a hey and a ches often can be exchanged in drushes. And therefore, so now we read the pasuk. V'ifkadti aleichem, Hashem is saying, I will reduce because of you, bechala, because of failure to give chala, then you'll have a shachefes v'esgadachas, and so on and so forth. Marsha points out, by the way, that first of all, the reason why the Gemara is darshaning it like that is because otherwise, if it meant that behola is one of the consequences, then it should have said v'ifkadti aleichem es habehola. The same way as it says es hashachefes ve'es hakadachas. Instead it says v'ifkadti aleichem behola, therefore that makes us darshan, that it means that the behola is the cause and the rest of it is the consequence. Second of all, Marsha says, on the face of it then, all the things that Rabbi Elazar by Yehuda mentioned, you have over here, there's no bracha in the stored up, supplies, there's prices rise, people plant and their enemies end up taking it, fine, but you're missing the shachefes and kadachas of the pasuk. Where are those? On the face of it, he didn't say anything about those diseases. So he says maybe shachefes and kadachas can also mean diseases that strike the grain. Normally we understand them as human diseases, but maybe in fact they mean some kind of disease of the grain as well, which causes there to be a shortage. On the other hand, continues the Gemara, the Maral, by the way, explains, the idea is, you know, you've made dough, you've put in tremendous effort into getting the flour, into having the grain and the flour and then the dough, and now you're supposed to take part of it out and give it, and then give it to Hashem, give it to the Kohen, as Chala. So now a person fails to do that, then Hashem causes that all the human effort that they put in storing up that wine and oil and planting and so forth all goes to waste. And on the other hand, the noisman is borchen. On the other hand, of course, if people do give challah, then it brings a bracha. Shenema, as the pasuk says, "Vereishis arisisecham tiknu lakayin." The first of your dough you should give to the kayin. Lohaniach bracha al beisacha, in order to cause a bracha to rest in your house. Now, Shaul also refers to a Gemara in Yevamos that says that the word beisecha over here also means the wife. There's a special bracha to her. She's the one, after all, who's usually in the house and makes the dough and takes the challah, which is why in our Mishnah we had that was one of the three special mitzvahs of women. Continues the Gemara, ba'avoin bitul truma semaisers, because of the avera of failing to give truma and meiser, shemayim netzarim milahorit talum mutter, the heavens are stopped up, so they don't give forth dew and rain. And therefore there's inflation, because now you have there's no rain, so therefore crops are not growing, and therefore there's tremendous inflation. And schar is lost. Rashi explains schar means as in profits. Nobody's able to make profits anymore. Marsha says differently. What it means is that if you can't grow anything in the field, then workers don't get paid. Workers who otherwise would be working in the fields are out of work and they can't make a living. People run to make panasa and they don't reach it. Because the prices have gone up so much, and because there's no work to be found. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Sia gam choim yigzolu meme sheleg. Literally, the pasuk means Sia means dryness, gam choim also heat, yigzolu meme sheleg. They steal the waters of the snow. Sheol chato, they've sinned to sheol, meaning all the way down to the depths. So the Gemara says, my mashma, okay, where do you see anything in that pasuk about truma and meiser? All the pasuk seems to be saying is you should know when there's a drought, when there's heat, then it causes the water that you would expect from the snow melting to dry it. But what are the exact averas we're talking about? So tonet veda bishmol, vishvil dvarim shetzivisi eschem in moisachama v'layasisem, the word fia were darshining as related to the word siva. So there are mitzvahs that Hashem is saying that I commanded you to do during the summertime. Siya gam choim, in other words, wadarjaning, mitzvahs that you have during the summertime. Now what happens? You do your harvest. You harvest your barley around Pesach time. You harvest your wheat around Shavuos time. Then you leave it out to dry. You thresh it and whatever, and you leave it out to dry in the fields all summer. So that time, summertime, is when you would be giving truma and meiser from them. So now a person is failing. So now people are failing to do those mitzvahs. The result is yigozvu mikem meni shelig v'mosag shamim, for failure to do them, the waters of the snow get stolen from you during the winter. In other words, during the winter there should be rain, there should be snow. And the Gemara mentions in Tainus that snow is even more effective for the earth than rain is, five times as much. So therefore, instead that gets stolen away, and there's no rain, and there's no rain as there should be. Marsha explains the word yigzalu in the pasuk is actually doing double duty. Sia gam choim yigzalu, meaning in other words, people steal things that were commanded to give during the summertime. They steal the truma and meiser and fail to give them, and the result is yigzalu mei mishaleg, that the waters of the snow are stolen away from them and there's a drought. On the other hand, the Gemara continues being noisin and misborchin. On the other hand, if the people do give truma and meiser, then they get a bracha. Shenema, as the pasuk says, and the Navi Malachi says, in his time there was a problem where people were being careless with truma and meiser, and in fact he's telling them because of that you're suffering droughts and all kinds of other consequences. So now he tells them, don't do that. Halvius kol meiser abesa oitzer, bring all the meiser into the storehouse. Since the times of Chizkiyahu, about 200 years earlier, there had been a takana. Instead of people just giving the truma and meiser to individual kohenim and levim, where you don't always know if the kohen or levi you're giving it to is learning Torah and doing mitzvahs, and then is going to follow the halachas of it, and whatever. So instead, they would bring it to a central storehouse in the Beis Mikdash, and from there the gizvarim would distribute it. So he's telling them, bring all the meiser to the storehouse. V'hi teref b'veisi, there should be food in my house, meaning in the Beis Mikdash. Of chonuni na b'zois am Hashem tzvachis. And Hashem says, you can test me about this. This is the famous thing that you can test. This is the one mitzvah that you're allowed to test Hashem about. Im loy eftach lohemes arubas ha-shamayim. If not, meaning I most certainly will open up for you the windows of heaven. And I will pour out for you bracha up until bli dai. So my ad bli dai, what does that last phrase mean? Omar Rami bar Rav Chama, Omar Rav, ad she yivlo sif se seichem miloy madai, until your lips, this is where we get the words of the song, until your lips wear out from saying dai, there'll be so much brachas that you'll ask for it to stop because it'll be too much for you to deal with. Now, right. So first of all, so there's a few different things about this. Page Yud Zayin Shabbos. So Marsha elsewhere, this Gemara is also in Makkos. Marsha explains again. We said before that you usually only find bracha in things that are hidden away. You don't usually have a person knows how much there is in a silo or whatever, and then there should be a bracha, and then Hashem doesn't usually do that. So like this, Ad Shiyivlo Sifseichem Miloy Madai. In other words, in a sense that you won't, your lips will wear out. He explains over there. In other words, like you won't even be able to say die because you won't even know that there's a bracha going on over there, but you're all of a sudden going to go in there and measure and find you have tremendously more than you did. Different other mafoshim talk about different angles on it. One of them being, Eitz Yosef brings a question. The word die doesn't involve your lips at all. So how do a person's lips wear out from saying die when you don't use your lips in making any of the letters of that? So he brings from a Gemara from Yerushalmi and Brachas that says we had it before actually in it means they wear out. So the Gemara over there expresses it that people are going to say Dayenu Brachas. We have enough of the brachas. Well, the word brachas has a base which you express with your lips. So therefore, in other words, eventually people's lips are going to wear out from that. There is actually a different explanation I once saw. Okay. What it means is your lips will stay unused because you're going to be saying die so much, and therefore shiyivu, just the opposite. Not they'll wear out from use, but they'll wear out from lack of use, kind of. Okay. So that's the bracha that people get when they're careful about truma and maisa. Continues the Gemara, ba'avon gezel, because of the avera of stealing, ha'goyvai over, locusts come up and to eat the crops, ba'harag toivan, the result is there's a famine, uvnei odim uchem, sabineim uvneseim, and people end up out of hunger eating the flesh of their children, like you have at the time of the Churban. Shenema, and we get this by combining together a bunch of psukim. First of all, the Pasuk says, the Navi Amos says, Shimu adover azeh, Poreis haboshan asher b'harshem. Listen to these words, he says, you cows of Boshan, and Boshan, which is nowadays the Golan Heights, is very fertile land, you know, that's why Bnei Reuven and Bnei Gad and Chasi Shevet Menashe settled in that area so they could have lots of pasture for their cattle. So therefore the cattle from there are very fat, and then he's using that as a metaphor for the women, for the rich women of Shemron. He continues, Ha'ushkas Dalim, Ha'roitz Tzeitz of Yonim, they wrong the poor people, and they crush the needy people. And Omar Rava, and Rava explains, that means, Kagoin Hani Noshi de Mechuzah, the Achon Belay Adam. We have an example in our time, says Rava, the women of Mechuzah, which was the city where Rava was the Rosh Hashiva, where they're very rich, pampered women, they eat, but they don't produce anything. So Rashi explains two things. Number one, that means in effect they're stealing from their husbands. A woman, after all, is supposed to, her husband supports her, and in return, she does certain work around the house, she produces wool, spins wool, or does whatever to contribute towards the family income, and they're not doing anything with that. Second of all, Rashi says, because they have very expensive tastes, as far as food and whatever, they cause their husbands don't have enough money to satisfy their needs, so therefore, their wants rather, so therefore they end up going about stealing. So therefore, the wives are causing their husbands to do that. So now that we understand who Omos, what kind of people Omos is talking about with his nevuah, Ochtiv. So he says a few psukim later, he kcs chem b'shidofen v'yerokin. Remember, Hashem says, I've struck you with shidofen and yerokin, which are various kinds of diseases that affect the crops. And he continues, useinechem v'zeisechem yerchal agbozem. Your figs and your olives have gotten eaten up by the gozem. Now, what is gozon? Is a type of locust. Uchtiv, you have a pasuk from Navi Yoel, who lived around that time also, who describes a progressive series of plagues of locusts that struck for several years in a row in Eretz Yisrael. He says, yeser gozom ochel arba, whatever was left from the gozom, the arba ate, the yeser arba ochel yelek, and whenever they left over the next batch, the yelek came and ate, the yeser yelek ochel achosel. So this all has to do with what we said, that the locusts come. Uchtiv. And then you have another pasuk from Yeshaya. So Marsha explains, the reason why the Gemara is bringing all these psukim one after the other is because all these Nevi'im lived around the same time. So now, so Yoel, when he mentioned the plague of locusts, and Yeshaya, when he's going to say now the further consequences, they don't say anything about Gezer. But it means each one is building off the previous one. Amos is saying that all of this is a result of Gezer. Because he says the Lashon Ha'oshkas Dalim Ha'roitzitzeh Hu'yonim. Then Yoel comes and adds that you should know it's not only Gozom, like Amos is telling you. There's also later waves of locusts. It's not just one wave. And then Yeshaya goes on and says the result of that is there's going to be a famine that's so severe. He says Vayigzer Al Yomin V'Roiv. Hashem commanded. On the right side, there's hunger. And he eats up and consumes on the left side, and nobody's able to be satisfied. Each person is eating the flesh of his arm. So, it means exactly that. People are so mad with hunger that they eat their own arms. But instead, not Zroya, his arm, but Zara, his children. So therefore, so Yeshaya is describing the final stage, and all of this we're saying is as a result of the Gezel that these women, that these Pores HaBoshan are bringing about, as Rava gave examples for people of his times. And again, the pashtus, the idea is the other way around. When people are careful to avoid even a trace of Gezel, then you have the opposite, and you have tremendous brachas. That's, you had that at the time of the Churban, and in both Torchus, and in the Chukosai, and in Kisava, it mentions that they're also in Eicha, yeah. Yeah. Alright, Yom Yom Mashiach Go'ola, Chof Gimel Adabez, our generation has the responsibility to finish the Birurim of the time of Ikvasa de Mashiach, of the time before Mashiach comes, and to bring down the Gili of Mashiach, the Blamatim Asaratvachim, in this physical world. And so when a person, after all, if you think even a little bit into these kinds of things, a person should be seized with trembling, realizing that all the terrible things that it says in Divrei Chazal about the times of Mashiach and the Gilu that's going to be then, all of it depends on our Avodah. That should motivate a person to do everything he can in that regard. Starting a new simon in Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, the halachas of brachas on fragrances. On smells, on good smells, and good aromas or smells. So the same way as you're not allowed to have enough food or drink before you make a bracha, the same way, we learned this in brachas a couple of months back, you have to also make, before you have enough from a good smell, you also have to first make a bracha. As it says, kol neshama to hallel, kol halleluka, and what kind of thing do you have that the neshama benefits from and not the guf is smells, fragrance. You don't make a bracha after it because once you've smelled it, then already the hana is gone. So it's the equivalent of having already digested the food. The same way you don't make a bracha after you've digested the food already. The same way there's no, you don't make an after bracha after you smelled it already, where then already the effect of it is gone. That's what we're saying. Because in other words, with food, you eat it and it takes a while. It's still benefiting your body for a while because it's being digested inside. So therefore you have a period of time to make an after bracha. Here you smell the fragrance and already it's gone. It's not having any further effect on you, so therefore there's no after bracha. What if you don't have a sense of smell? The pashtus, you wouldn't say barim and rasam, yeah. Then you would skip it, or you'd say the bracha on behalf of everybody else. And they'd smell. So actually with Birkas HaNenin it's not so simple. Birkas HaNenin in general, you can't be motzi somebody else unless you yourself are having nana as well, or unless the Birkas HaNenin is part of a mitzvah, where here it's not meant to say you say it in connection with Abdullah, but it's not really a mitzvah. So actually I don't know about that. I'd have to somebody else would have to make the bracha, but Pashkos and be motzi everybody else, yeah.
Somebody passed by
So later on in the simon, we're going to talk about what happens if you smell a smell as you're passing by. Yeah.